Helping me here from the book of Acts, chapter number 8, if you want to look with me in your Bible. Acts chapter number 8, if you'll look with me there. And for the sake of time, I'm not going to read but this one verse and then give you a thought the Lord's touched my heart with. Acts 8, verse 30. The Bible said, "And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest?" I'm going to preach this morning. God to help me on, do you understand? Really, the definition for understanding would be to know or to have knowledge of by experience. To know something, you've got to experience something. When the eunuch, the Ethiopian eunuch come from, and I've read this place he come from was somewhere in Egypt. And he come to Jerusalem to worship. Now, why he came from Egypt to Jerusalem to worship? Maybe he had been converted to Judaism. I don't know. Maybe he was interested in what he's heard and he just went there to hear what they had to say. You know, there's a lot of reasons that people attend the house of God. There's a lot of reasons that people come to an assembly. There's been down through the year, I've been here a long time, in 27 years, and there's been reasons why some people come to the house of God. There's reasons that people attend. Some come for a true worship. The Bible said Jesus seeketh such to worship Him. And it is the reason that we come is to worship Christ. There's no other reason to enter the doors of the house of God but to have worship. Whether it be through the preached word, the singing, thank God, testifying, giving, whatever's done in the sanctuary, it ought to be to worship Him. When I put my offering in the plate, it ought to be because I worship Him. The wise men come after He is a little child. I don't believe they was there on the day He's born, but I believe they came later. And the Bible said He presented unto them Him gifts, and they worshiped Him. And so everything deals with worship. It don't matter whether you worship in offerings, worship in song, worship in preaching, worship in testifying, worship, thank God, is what the Lord seeks us to do. And this man, he said here in the Bible, he had come to Jerusalem for to worship. Now, he had not been saved yet, but he done the best he knew. And that's all man can do is what he knows. If he don't know, he don't have understanding about it, then he can't really worship. Amen. The book of Corinthians talked about a lost man amongst the congregation of people. And he said, if he come into a congregation and they all was speaking in a different language, he said they'd call them mad. Amen. But if everybody's on the same page, if everybody's got a like mind, then he said he'll say God's in this place. I wonder what people do think about this place. Certainly it ought to be about Jesus. It ought to be a like-minded place that people say God's in that place. Amen. Well, this man came to worship. And it looks like to me, after his worship, he returned and he's sitting in his chariot. I said this morning, it looks like to me it probably was a caravan of people. He might have been by himself, the Bible don't say. But it does say this man sitting in his chariot. A pretty high class ride. Amen. Thank God, not everybody rode a chariot that day, got to ride in a chariot that day. But he was a treasure of Candace. Now the Bible said here that, thank God, she was a queen of the Ethiopians. That was just a common name of that queen in the Ethiopian place there. Thank God, just like Pharaoh was the name of the Egyptian king, Candace was the name of the Ethiopian queen. And so this man sitting in his chariot, it looks like to me that he had a scroll. Amen. servant or something that the scripture was wrote on. He was sitting in his own chair and he was reading it. Well, in that the common practice was that when they read out loud. In fact, the Bible did say Philip heard him read it. Amen. He comes up to that chair and he hears this man sitting in his chair and he's reading this scripture. Amen. That's good to read the scripture. Thank God, whether you're lost or saved, it'll help you. Amen. As a saved man, I read it as if I was eating a meal. Amen. Because I'm fed by it. A lost man, this reads it basically for information. It's not like a letter personal to him. Before I was saved, I never read the Bible. I respected people about it, but I didn't read the Bible. I wasn't interested in it. Amen. My thought of going to heaven when I was a young man, it was, if I do the best I can, God will take me. As long as I don't do nothing real bad, and God's going to take me. Boy, wasn't I deceived. Amen. God will never take a man by who he is or what he does. He'll take a man for who he believes and who he believes in. And he better believe God and better believe in Christ. Amen. He won't get to heaven without that. Amen. And buddy, I'll tell you one thing. The Bible's a good book to read. Now this man here, thank God, didn't have a Bible like we do. He wouldn't carry the King James Bible under his arm. As far as I know, 1611 was the first King James Bible. Amen. There was Bibles before that. They had to have the Word of God. Amen. But we've got the Bible. We've got it complete. This man was just reading a bit of it. And he is reading Isaiah 53. And what a great chapter. Thank God it prophesies of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so God tells Philip, he's down in Samaria, and Philip's preaching to a bunch of people that was forsaken because of the race. And God said, go down there and preach to them. Philip goes and preaches to Samaria, and they get saved, and God starts doing great things. And he calls John and Peter, I believe it is, down there to assist him in this revival. And then God says to Philip, who was an evangelist, who was one of the seven that was to feed the widows, thank God, he said, you go down to Gaza in the desert place. What about that, leaving a revival and going down to a dry place? Hey, God's always got a reason in what he does. A lot of people think just because they're going through a desert season that God's not around. But God is around. And God's where he is. And God will be with you no matter what you're going through. He's got you there for a purpose. Just follow the Holy Ghost. Amen. Now, when Philip got there, the Holy Ghost said to him, it did say the Spirit called him away. And he said, you go down to Gaza. He left Samaria, goes to Gaza. It's a desert place, desert strip. And the Holy Ghost said, go down there and join yourself to that chariot. That word join there is the same meaning of cleaving. That's the word we got for husband leaving his wife, and I mean leaving his mother and mother and cleaving to his wife. That's what that means, you know. You leave your father and mother, you cleave to your wife. That's the same thing he said. Go there and join yourself or cleave yourself to that chariot. And so Philip gets down there, and this man's reading out loud, and Philip asked him this question that I read and you were hearing this morning. And when he got there, he ran hither and joined himself, and he said, do you understand about what thou readest? Do you know what you're reading? And the man said this. He said, how can I, except some man should guide me? You know, God has put men of God and people of God in a world that needs guidance. But I want to remind you this. Listen to what I'm about to tell you. This man he spoke to, God led him there. Now, I'm for evangelizing. But there's particular people God wants you to evangelize. Now, I know the whole world needs the gospel. Don't get me wrong. But you're not going to talk to the whole world. God wants you to talk to somebody. God wants you to talk to somebody. Now, if you'll listen to the Spirit, that's the key to this verse here. the Spirit bade him or told him to go join. That's the whole key to this verse. Is the Holy Spirit led this man to where this man was. And if we'll be sensitive to the voice of God and the Spirit of God, Brother Danny. See, a lot of times I act in obedience not knowing that after I've done it, the Holy Ghost said, that's what I want. You see, when you walking in God, the Holy Ghost is leading you. You might not have a direct command within your thought, but you have a direct command from the Scriptures. And the Spirit bade him. And listen, thank God when he got there, he said, do you understand? He said, how can I accept some man guide me? And the Bible said here, he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Isn't it amazing that when you follow God, God will do the rest. God will lead you and guide you to where you need to be. I'm telling you, friend, thank God there's so many opportunities to do something for God if we would just follow the lead of God. Now, I want to preach to you on this understanding. You know, when Jesus walked after the resurrection with them men, them Emmaus disciples, they didn't know who he was. In fact, he said, what y'all so sad about? And they said within themselves, they told him about Christ. They was walking with him. They didn't know it. And then it said this, and then he opened their understanding. Do you know, listen to me, I don't know your heart this morning. There's people sitting in this church that can hear this preacher and hear these songs and never had an open understanding to who he really is. He's more than a historical figure. He's more than a Bible story. He's more, my friend, thank God, than a Sunday God. He's the Lord and Savior of our soul. He's the Lord Jesus Christ. He come in this world. We sing about a manger. And it's surely the truth. He was born in a stable. He was born through a virgin's womb. He was born. Thank God as God incarnate. He was God. And God took on a robe of flesh. That's true. Amen. He walked 33 years in this world. He was at 30 years old baptized by John. The Spirit descended upon him. He went about preaching and doing good. They hated him, my friend, because of his message. Only ones that took him in was the poor and the halt and the maimed and the blind. And the rest of the crowd wouldn't have him. Amen. He didn't have a place to lay his head. But thank God he came into a world that he might know us. Thank God through the grace of God, through going to Calvary at 33 years old. They nailed him to a cross. Thank God by the foreknowledge of God. And by my friend, our own sins. They put him on a tree. And he died there. And he hung there for 6 hours. And they took him down. And Joseph put him in his tomb. Amen. Put his body there. And 3 days later, thank God, friend, he got out of it. He rose again and showed himself. Thank God. And lived amongst them. Thank God. Amen. Ate with them. Thank God. They felt him. John said they handled him. John said they heard him. Thank God he's alive. Go tell him he's alive. That's who I'm talking about. I'm talking about him. Thank God that rose again. Amen. Thank God. On the 40th day, he ascended back. 10 days later, the Holy Ghost came. He said, I'll send you one like me. I'll send you another comforter. And he come in the day of Pentecost, baptizing people in the power of God, and the Holy Ghost dwelt them. And you know what he said? You know what Jesus said? When he comes in you and upon you, you're going to be my witness in a lost world. That's what he said. That's what he said. And I'm telling you this morning, brother and sister, thank God I'm glad I know him. Amen. I'm glad I understand what I'm talking about.
I'm glad that old man of God took a book and told me I had to be born again. And the Holy Ghost said, that man's a telling you right. Hey, man, that man's a preaching the truth to you. That man's a saying the truth to you, brother, that you've got to be born again. Amen. Your first birth won't work. You've got to have two. Thank God, you've got to be born into my family. You was born into an earthly family and a Adamic race. Amen. But you've got to be born into God's family. And the only way to get in God's family has to be born of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
That's right. The same Spirit that lives in Christ. He said there in Romans 8, he said, the Spirit that lived in Christ lives in me. He said, he shall also quicken your mortal bodies. He quickened me by the Spirit. He lives in me. I met him 33 years ago. I met him 33 years ago in saving grace, in saving knowledge, in knowing him as much as I know you, Brother Joe. I mean, brother, I have never seen him by a fleshly body. I never have seen him. Thank God, but I seen him that day. Thank God, the faith. Amen. I tell you, say, what he look like, preacher? He looked like the best thing I ever seen. Amen. Amen. I saw a fellow the other day. I didn't know who he was. I said, was talking about the Lord's blessing. I come out of the Dollar Tree. I said, how you doing, sir? He said, I'm doing good. I said, oh, ain't the Lord good? You know, I said something like that to him. I didn't even know him. This is what he said walking off. He said, we're blessed by the best. I like that. Amen. I like it. We're blessed by the best. Amen. That's right. And we're blessed in Christ Jesus. We're blessed because, thank God, He revealed Himself. The only way you ever understand anything in the spirit life is He revealed it to you. I wouldn't want religion. I don't have religion. It's been made known. He revealed it to me. He made Himself known to me. Without Him, I couldn't know Him. I'm telling you, He didn't understand what He was reading. But He was hungry to read it. Amen.
Right. You know what it said in verse 35? He said, and he started the same scripture. Philip did. And preached unto him Jesus. I wasn't there that day. I've always wondered how he preached. I wondered sitting in a chariot. Could you imagine sitting in a chariot? I mean, there's horses pulling that thing, I reckon. Camels, whatever, probably camels. They're sitting there in that fancy chair to that queen, and he's reading that scripture. Just say there was other people around. I don't know. But he opened that scripture up. He preached unto him Jesus. You reckon he wrote it back and let her rip? I mean, I don't say everybody that preaches has got to do that. But it looks like to me he had a lot of fire about him. Amen. I'm going to tell you what, listen to me. You can't preach the gospel without passion.
Amen.
There's something about it. You can't preach the gospel without passion.
Amen.
You're going to have passion if you preach the gospel. You can't, if it's a book report to you, that's all it is.
Yes, sir.
But if it's reality to you, you can't do it. Somebody said, why do you act like that? Why? Because of passion. Passion rules everything. I mean, if you think about it, there's energy in everything. If you don't have God energy, you're not going to do it with the passion of God. I believe this man got up and he said, oh, what grace and glory in the Lord Jesus. Thank God, he's talking about Jesus. The Bible said he preached unto him Jesus. I believe he said that's, he's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that died. He's the one that was slaughtered. He's the one that left the land of the living to give his own life for sinful man. That's who he's talking about. I believe after he said that, he just said, that's the message. Now listen to me. He didn't look to that man and say, you don't pray the sinner's prayer? I believe that man was so moved, that man in that chariot, after Philip preached to him, I believe he was so moved. Probably Philip said, All right, let's go. And that man no doubt started and he said, wait a minute. He said, here's a body of water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Where did he hear about baptism? I reckon he did back at the in Jerusalem. Maybe a Christian had testified to getting saved in the meeting that day and said, praise God, I got saved and I'm baptized. I got baptized. And that man was intrigued by the fact that this man went down in water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? He said, well, you're going to have to be saved to be baptized. You're going to have to believe in Christ to be baptized. Boy, what a confession in verse 37 that man made right there. He said, Philip said, if thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest. Boy, that's a heart thing, ain't it? Huh? It's not all up here. It's got to get down here. I don't know where that's... When we say heart, we ain't talking about that what's pumping.
No.
We're talking about the inward man. The seat of life. The feelings, the affections, the everything. If you believe in your heart. How are you going to believe in somebody you never have seen? Unless God graces you with the belief. Boy, I'm about to flip. If thou believest all thy heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He said, whoa, friend, stop this chariot. We got to baptize this man. Amen. This man was an Ethiopian. It broke the color barrier. It broke the prejudice barrier. Listen to what I'm about to tell you. It's not about the color of the skin. It's about the soul that needs to be saved. It's about the spirit. How can you believe in whom you have not heard? And you know, I think about that. If you really think about it, if you could just get a hold of this. I mean, just get a hold of it. To realize that you believe in somebody you never have seen. You believe in Christ who you have never heard audibly.
Amen.
How do you believe that? Because you heard it and the Holy Ghost witnessed it and grace put it in your heart and son, it changed your life forever. Amen.
Yeah.
There ain't no chance. I said there ain't no chance, brother. Ain't no chance. And I said ain't too. It ain't no chance that I'll ever unbelieve. There ain't enough devils. There ain't enough unbelievers to cause me to ever unbelieve.
Amen.
You know why? Because I believe.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Hey, say, well, what about that old story? He said, we're going to tell you a story. And I said, it ain't a story, it's a record.
That's right.
He said, I want to tell you the story of the three bears. I want to tell you the story of Goldilocks and the three bears. I said, I want to tell you the record that's recorded by the hand of God. Hand that God put this in him, brother. Man didn't pin this one down. He used men to pin it down, but he didn't. It was God. It's God's word. It ain't man's. And everything God did, he done it because it pleased him, and he done it because it was his will, and he done it. Thank God for you. They went down that water and he baptized them. I said this, and I'll say it again, the church gives the authority to baptize, and Jerusalem church gives the authority for them men to go out and baptize. And they baptized him, and the Ethiopian, I believe, went back and told them people what happened to him. And buddy, I believe it spread. I believe that's how it spreads.
Yes, sir.
Amen. That's right. You get in a home.
Amen.
Husband and wife get saved.
Yes,
you know what
sir.
They can go back and say? I got born again.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You know what's going to happen? It's going to start to spread. Amen. That's right, buddy. I'm telling you, that's right. Praise God. Amen. Listen, I'm telling you, when I got saved and I got born again, I'm telling you, you know the first one I call? You know what happened about 6 months later? What I told she got a hold of. Amen. You know who I told? It works. Amen. Right. You know when I got in this pulpit, you know who I told? You know what covered Matt? All this. It's good, ain't it? You know what I told? You know what covered Matt? This little row right here. I needed this, folks. Amen. The stock department store's about to kill you. I needed this good spiritual work right here this morning. He baptized him. He baptized him. They went off rejoicing. Went back to probably where he was from. Right there in Egypt. Told people about what happened to him. I'll tell you one thing. I appreciate that. That's that breath, Baptist bread. I'll close with this. Anybody ever get saved and leave rejoicing?
Yeah.
Amen. All right, buddy. Help me, hang on. Amen. You ever been saved? You understand what you're reading? You know, he'll tell me, he said, I read the Bible. Somebody don't understand it. I said, the Holy Ghost had to tell you what it says. I didn't author this book. If I write a book, I can tell you what it means.
Oh, yeah.
I wrote it. Well, I didn't author this, and neither did you. And the only one that can tell you what it means is the one that wrote it. And that's the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. Understanding what thou readest? How can it except some man guide me? Well, if you won't be guided, you won't be helped. I'll take guidance. I'll take somebody to tell me what it says. I like to read people that tell me something. Amen. I don't need 7 steps. I need something that says this is what that means. And the Holy Ghost is the only one to tell it what it means. Amen. God help us. You understand what you're reading? Amen. Some people don't even read it. How are they going to understand if they don't read it? Thank God. I thanked Him this morning. I said this. When I prayed, I said, Lord, I said, I'm so thankful that You were born into a sin-cursed world. But more than that, I'm glad You was born in my heart. Born in my heart. Amen. Thank the Lord. I love You and I thank You for being here this morning. You've made my day by being here. But it made my day a whole lot more than Him being here and helping my heart. I needed help from God. I told Him this morning, Lord God, I need Your help. Amen. Let's stand. I appreciate you.